Our Bible with tonight, would you turn with me please to the Gospel by Luke, and we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we want to read together a very familiar portion from the Word of God, the Gospel by Luke, chapter 19, and I'm beginning to read at the opening verse. And we read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the price, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own word to each of our hearts. And let's just join together in a short word of prayer and ask the Lord to continue to speak to each of our hearts for his name's sake. Now, every believer looking to the Lord and praying that the Lord may be here tonight and that the Lord might draw souls to himself. Let us all pray. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, as you continue on in your presence this evening, we thank the Lord tonight already for the sweet sense of thy presence and the messages and song. And our Father, we pray now that as we turn to thine own infallible, inspired word, Lord, that thou would take up thy word, and Lord, that thou would bless it by thy Spirit, and grant, Lord, that thou would break the bread of life to every heart, and grant, our Father, that every soul in the gathering this evening, Lord, might be blessed through the living word of God. Our Father, we pray for those who are here tonight, and Lord, you have brought them along in your providence and are not saved. And tonight, Lord, we pray that as they listen to the simple message of the gospel, we pray, Lord, that this will be the night when they'll fall in with God's offer of salvation and receive Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, that thy word tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, our Father, we pray that some soul or souls in the gathering, Lord, might reach out the hand of faith. Lord, might receive that gift of life and come to know Christ, whom to know is eternal life. Continue with us, we pray, and give us help from heaven, for we ask it in the Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. Now, just before we turn to the Word of God, could I say once again, just as we said this morning, that it is a joy to be here in South Carolina, in the United States of America, and to have the opportunity of being here and to have fellowship with you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And could I say it's a real joy to be here also and to be able to renew fellowship with our brother Robert Morrow. You know, something happened at the airport when I arrived, and I haven't really forgiven our brother for it. And our brother, Mr. Sam Foss, kindly picked us up along with his wife. And he didn't know who I was, and so he went to our brother Robert and he asked him for a description of what this preacher from Ulster looked like. And our brother Robert told him I had a long nose, I had receding hair, and I was sort of a short and fat. And I told our brother he was getting mixed up with the chief rabbi of Belfast. But I do want to say it is a joy to be here, and we do trust that God will bless his word. You know, there are some things of the same in the world, no matter where you go. And I think of sin, and sin's the same in the hearts of men and women, no matter what part of the world that you travel to. We always find that sin is the same, and the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Again, not only is sin the same, but salvation is the same. And no matter what part of the world that we go to, thank God we preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and the same everlasting gospel. Now, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the portion that we read together in the wonderful story of Zacchaeus. Now, as you read the Word of God, you will find that there are many wonderful stories given to us of men and women coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll discover that right down from the Garden of Eden,
when God called unto Adam in the garden and he said, Adam, where art thou? That right down through the years of time, that God has been saying to men and women, where art thou? And the Lord has been calling men and women unto himself. And then the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that the Lord came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. We find that time and time again, that the Lord Jesus Christ called men and women to himself. The last person you would have thought would have been saved, and yet the Lord reached forth the hand of salvation, and he saved them in a wonderful way. Now, when you come to the story of Zacchaeus tonight, we find that this is a man, the last type of person we would think that Christ would save, and yet it was this man that Christ plucked as a man from the burning. He passed from death unto life, and he came to know the power of the gospel within his heart and life. Now, as you look at this story of this man, as it is revealed here in Luke chapter 19, you will find that there are three simple things about Zacchaeus that I want to leave with you tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, what I've called the search of a great sinner. The search of a great sinner. Because as you read into the story of Zacchaeus' life, and you examine the background of this man's situation, we find that he was a man who was searching. He was a man that was looking for something or for someone that would meet the deepest need of his heart. And so in the opening verses there, in verses 1 to 3, we find the search of a great sinner, a man who was seeking for something that could meet the need of his heart. Now, when you look into the life of Zacchaeus, you'll find that it's remarkable that this man was searching. Because as we'd have looked at this man outwardly, we would have said that Zacchaeus had everything that the world had to offer, and that this man stood in need of nothing. And yet we find from the Word of God that in spite what he had around about him, that Zacchaeus was still seeking, and he was still longing for someone who could meet the need of his heart. Now, as you look at the Word of God here, you'll find that, first of all, that Zacchaeus had religion. If you look in verse 9, it says, And Jesus said unto him, This day of salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And you know, that reminds us here, doesn't it, that Zacchaeus was a man who had religion. He was a son of Abraham, and he was a man who was brought up in the Jewish faith and cradled with a religion from the very earliest days of his life. But here we find the fact that in spite of the fact that he had religion, that he hadn't the Lord Jesus Christ, and Zacchaeus needed to be saved. And so it is today throughout the world that men and women of religion, but they've discovered that religion cannot meet the need of their heart. Remember, some time ago we were having a gospel campaign in our church back home. We decided to go out and door-to-door visitation and there and knock the doors and invite people to come to our gospel campaign. I remember going to one door and this lady came out and she said to me, Are you the pastor of the local Free Presbyterian Church? And you know, when a person asks you a question like that, well, you just don't know what to say. But I admitted it and said, yes, I'm from the local Free Presbyterian Church. And she said to me, you know, I'd like you to come in. I've been wanting to meet you, and I want to speak to you. And so I went into the home, and she said to me, I'm a Roman Catholic. And she said, I've been brought up in a Roman Catholic religion. But she said, I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied with my life or with my religion. And she said, would you mind if I came along to your church and I brought my family along to your place of worship? And of course, we gave her the invitation and she came along. And there she listened to the Word of God being preached. And she heard how that Christ died in her room instead. And thank God, what she couldn't find in religion, she was able to find in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that was just over a year ago. And that woman has been gloriously saved and going on with God and praying that God will bring the remainder of her family to know Christ as her Savior. Oh, I wonder tonight, is there someone here and you're just like Zacchaeus? There's a search of a great sinner within your heart. My, you're looking for something and you haven't found it in religion. I want to tell you, thank God, that what's missing in religion is going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ when you put your faith and trust in Him. Remember how John tells us, to as many as receive him, that is Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Thank, praise God, tonight we can say with Paul that we preach Christ crucified. Why? Because it's only the risen Christ that can meet the need of the heart. And so, first of all, in the search of a great sinner, there was a man who had religion, but it couldn't meet the need of his heart. Then I want you to notice, secondly, that he had not only religion, but he also had possession. Because if you look at verse 2, we're told that Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. That reminds us here that he was a man of great possession. Now, as far as his possession was concerned, he was as high up as it was possible to go in his profession. He was chief among the publicans, and because of his possession, the Bible says he was rich. And yet, in spite of his possession, in spite of all the riches that he had gathered, my Zacchaeus' life was empty. And he knew nothing of the joy of God's salvation. You know, is not the trouble in this materialistic age that men and women think that if they get much of this world's goods, then it'll bring peace to their hearts. But alas, how often it is that in spite of having possession and having all the wealth that possession can bring, it doesn't bring peace to the heart. Last Thursday evening, we were concluding a gospel campaign in our church over there in Ulster. I remember at the end of the service, a dear man came to us, and he was troubled about his soul. And you know, this man is one of the richest men in Ulster, a man who we could literally say is a millionaire. And he came along to the services, and he was a man of prosperity. And yet, in spite of the fact that he had everything that money could buy, my, he was unhappy, he was miserable within his soul. And yet he came and he heard the message of the gospel and heard that how that Christ died in his room instead and was mighty to save if he would only put his trust in him. And you know, that man came and he knelt at the foot of the old rugged cross and he passed from death unto life and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know, my friend, the Bible says that what shall it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? My, in the search of a great sinner in Zacchaeus, we see not only a man who had religion, but we see a man who had possession and couldn't meet the need of his heart. Then I want you to notice something else here, and it's this, that we find that he was a man who had determination. Look at verses 3 and 4. We read in verse 3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." And here we find the determination of Zacchaeus, that even though there was a crowd between him and the Savior, my, Zacchaeus was determined to see the Lord, and he runs ahead of the crowd, climbs up into a tree that he might look down and get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And could I say to you tonight that if you're going to get saved, perhaps you need that determination like Zacchaeus. My, that you're going to bypass the crowd and you're going to have determination of heart that you might meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's so many young people today, and my, they would love to be saved and they would love to be a Christian and to take up their cross and to follow Christ. And yet, sad to say, so often the crowd comes between them and the Savior. Do you remember the situation that Pilate found himself in? And Pilate found himself face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and the crowd. Then he turned to the crowd and he said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called a Christ?" And he let the crowd make the decision. And the crowd cried, "Crucify him, crucify him. Away with this man. We'll not have him to rule over us." And the result was that old Pilate lost his soul because he let the crowd make the decision. And so it's the same with the crowd in the world today. My, the world doesn't want Christ. And if the Lord was here tonight, even in Carolina, my, the world would crucify him afresh here in this very town. But if you're going to get saved, you've got to get past the crowd. Reach out the hand of faith that you may trust the Savior. Then I want you to notice that with not only the search of a great sinner in the story of Zacchaeus, but I want you to see the salvation of a great Savior. The salvation of a great Savior. Because the Lord came to Zacchaeus, and thank God he could meet his need. The Bible tells us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And no matter what the man or woman's need is, or the young person's, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet that need. I want you to notice, first of all, there in verse 5, in the salvation of a great sinner, that firstly, it was a personal salvation. Now the Lord looked at Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. And he called him by his name. And he singled Zacchaeus out. He looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide in thy house. And you know, beloved, if you're going to get saved and be born again of the Spirit of God, you've got to realize that salvation is a personal thing. It's a decision that you only can make to receive Christ as your Savior. I have a dear brother in the Lord that trained with us in Bible school. And Victor and Victor's parents were missionaries for many years out in Africa. And Victor thought that because his parents were missionaries on the mission field, my, that was good enough to get him to heaven. And yet there had to come that moment in life when he realized that salvation was a personal thing, that he had to receive Christ and to take him as his own and personal Savior. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight, and you have been brought up in a godly home, and you even have attended this church, and yet you have never come to the place where you realize that salvation is a personal thing, that ye must be born again individually if you're ever going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Some years ago in the city of Scotland, in the city of Glasgow in Scotland, a group of boys got onto a bus. You know, there was an old godly bus conductor on the bus, and one of the fellows thought he would take a hand out of him. And he said to him, Jimmy, give us a ticket for heaven. Sell us a ticket for heaven. And you know, the old bus conductor very quickly replied. He said, I'm sorry, son. I can take you as far as the cross. And when you get to the cross, it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in the gospel of sovereign grace. And so it is in God's plan of salvation, that the preacher can only bring you to the cross. He can only show you the Lamb of God that died in your room instead. And you personally need to take that look of faith and to accept Christ as your Savior. Yes, salvation, it was a personal salvation. Zacchaeus had to make haste right away. But I want you to notice, not only was it a personal salvation, but we read that it was a pressing salvation. It was a pressing salvation. Because as the Lord looked at Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Make haste, Zacchaeus, and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. No, Zacchaeus at that moment was pressed right away at that moment that he would be saved and he would come to know Christ as his Savior. Make haste and come down. For today I must abide in thine house. You know, salvation is not only personal, but salvation as presented by Christ is a pressing thing, is a thing that you need to accept right away. Oh, how often many people say, well, I intend to get saved. I intend to be born again and to be in God's family and to go into heaven, but not just yet. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you remember the psalmist David, how he said, there is but a step between me and death. And you could leave it till tomorrow. You could delay just for an hour and find that you're eternally lost. Just before I came over here, I was visiting at a home and connected with our church. I pulled a car into the side of the street, and a very wealthy, well-dressed man was walking down the street, and all of a sudden he collapsed. He fell to the ground. I got out of the car, and a few others were gathered round, and we tried to help him the best we could. But you know, the blood began to pour forth from his mouth, and in a matter of just about 60 seconds, the man had left the scene of time and was in eternity. There he was lying in the street dead. You know, I had to go for a sister and break the news that this man had died, and would you come right away? And the sister said to me, she said, you know, Mr. Barnes, she said he was at the hospital 3 weeks ago, and the hospital told him he was perfectly all right and he had good health. There he was lying dead in the street. Oh, how true it is that boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Leave salvation till tomorrow, and you could have missed it for time and for eternity. Yes, it was not only a personal salvation, it was a pressing salvation, a salvation that had to be received right away. And then I want you to notice something else, and it was this. It was a practical salvation. It was a practical salvation. Zacchaeus had to do something. The Lord Jesus tells us here that he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Come down right away, Zacchaeus. For today I must abide at thy house. There was something Zacchaeus had to do. He had to come down from the tree and stand at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in God's simple plan of salvation. If a man or woman is going to be saved, then they've got to humble themselves and take the sinner's place at the feet of the Savior. Do you remember on one occasion how that the Savior said that I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if a man isn't willing to humble himself at the feet of Christ, then he never can be saved. See, it's Spurgeon, the great English Baptist preacher, tells on one occasion how a very wealthy lady came into the inquiry room at the end of the service. This woman was troubled about her soul, and she was anxious to speak of spiritual things. And Spurgeon began to point out to her how she needed to be saved. And the woman looked at Mr. Spurgeon, and she said, Mr. Spurgeon, tell me, she said, if I get saved, will I have to get saved like Molly, my servant? Will I have to get saved the same way as my servant Gerald? And Spurgeon, faithful to the word of God, he said, yes, if you're going to get saved, there's only one place you can get saved, and that is to put at the old rugged cross. And you'll have to get saved like a Molly, the servant. And you know, the woman looked at Spurgeon, and she said in her pride, she said, Mr. Spurgeon, if I've got to get saved like Molly, my servant girl, then I'll not get saved. And she wouldn't humble herself. And she walked out of the inquiry room rejecting the Savior. Oh, you remember on one occasion how the Lord said that the whole need not a physician. And if a man doesn't realize that he's a sinner and take a humble place, then he can never be saved. Yes, there was not only the search of a great sinner, but thank God there was a salvation of a great Savior that could meet his need. Then I want you to notice finally that we have the step of a great surrender. The step of a great surrender, because we find that Zacchaeus was willing to obey the demands of the gospel and willing to heed the Savior's voice. Now, if you look there, first of all, you will find that the first thing that he did in his surrender was that he received Christ. Look at verse 6. It says, and he made haste and came down and received him. My, I like that. It says, and he made haste and came down and received him. And this is the first thing in the step of a great surrender. He received the Lord himself. Again, you remember that lovely promise in John's Gospel, and how that the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. And if you're going to be saved, you've got to realize that it's not receiving the sacrament, the Lord's Supper or baptism, or it's not receiving a church or a denomination or a particular creed, no matter how good it might be, but rather it's receiving a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember Paul when he was writing to the Corinthians, and how he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And Paul could look back to a time when he received him like Zacchaeus, and it was then that he passed from death unto light and from darkness into the light of the gospel. I wonder tonight, can we ask you this question? Have you taken the step of a great surrender? Have you received him? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? But I want you to notice that he not only received, but I want you to note there also in that verse that he rejoiced, because the Bible tells us, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So there was not only a receiving took place, but thank God when he received Christ, there was a rejoicing. My, his heart was flooded and filled with the joy of God's salvation, as he knew his sins had been pardoned. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he had peace with God. I wonder, my friend, tonight, have you got that joy in your heart that comes from knowing that your past, no matter how sinful, no matter how black it may be, has been blotted out, has been washed clean through the blood of Christ? You can say with Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he not only received, but he rejoiced when he came to know this Savior. You know, before I was saved, I used to have the strange idea, my, that if a man or woman got saved, salvation was the most miserable thing in the world. But I discovered that that was the devil's lie, that the most miserable thing in the world is sin. When God's salvation comes into a heart, my, that heart and life is filled with the fullness of God's joy. Then I want you to notice one final thing, and it says that he not only received in this step of a great surrender, he not only rejoiced, but thank God he repaid. He repaid, because this man looks at the Lord and he says, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. My, this man repaid. There was a change in his life. He began to make restitution as an evidence he was saved and he had come to know Christ as his Savior. You know, beloved, this is what happens when a man or woman comes to know Christ. My, there's a change in the heart. There's a transformation in the life, and to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Remember, in the city of Belfast, there was two brothers by the name of Harry Young and Eddie Young. Both of these men, strangely enough, were bakers, and both of them were amateur boxers and went on to be professional boxers in Belfast. Well-known fellas. But you know, one night they both went to a gospel meeting, and they both heard the gospel, and these two professional boxers got saved, and they came to know Christ as their Savior. Now, as I've already said, both of these men were bakers. And you know, like most bakers and worked in a large bakery, my, they had stolen stuff out of the bakery. They had taken shapes and scales and rolling pins and anything that wasn't nailed down to the floor. My, they'd taken it home with them, and they had this little home bakery in their own house. You know, God saved them. God pointed a finger to the things that they'd stolen. And Harry and Eddie got all these things and put them into a large box and carried them back into the bakery and into the foreman's office and set them down, and the foreman looked at them in surprise. And he said, what's this? They told him what had happened. They'd got saved, and all the things that they'd stolen out of the bakery, they had to bring back. They made restitution, and that was the evidence they'd come to know Christ as their Savior. And tonight I'm glad that the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for Zacchaeus, what he did for Harry and Eddie Young, thank God he can do for you tonight if you accept him and put your trust in him. Oh, it's our earnest prayer, if you're here and you're not saved, but even tonight, that you'll come and put your faith in the Savior. Let's just bow together in a short word of prayer. Wonder, could we just have every head bowed and every eye closed as we look to the Lord in prayer? And could we just say that I feel that God has spoken to some heart in His service tonight, that God has brought someone in the meeting in His providence here to this gospel service, and you're here and you're not saved, and the Lord has been speaking to you. I wonder, can we give you a word of invitation tonight? If you're here and you're not saved and you're concerned about spiritual things, and you know tonight that your life is in a mess, and you know that you need Christ as the Prince of Peace to come into your life and into your heart that you may be saved, I wonder, can I give you a little simple invitation? This will not save you, but it'll indicate to me that after the service, while others have gone, that you would like to speak to us concerning God's salvation and that you would like to get saved. I wonder, could I just ask you very quickly just to raise up your hand and to take it down again, just as a public indication
that you would like to be saved, and that you would like to accept Christ as your Savior. We'll not embarrass you by asking you to come up to the front or anything of that nature. But after the meeting, just stay behind where you are, and you'll be able to speak to us concerning God's salvation. I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight, some young man in the service, and God has been speaking to your heart. He's brought you into the meeting tonight, perhaps even against yourself. You didn't want to be here, but God has brought you into the meeting, and God is giving you the opportunity of getting saved and coming to know Christ as your Savior. I wonder, is there a man or woman who's willing to just raise up that hand as an indication that they want to get saved and accept Christ as their Savior? Could I just say that if there's anyone here in your concern, please don't go away after the service, but stay behind and speak to us, and we believe we can help you from the Word of God to find Christ as your Savior and Lord. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight at the end of another gospel service, and how we rejoice tonight, Father, that Thy Word is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And we pray tonight, Lord, that You would just take up Your Word that has been sown in weakness, and we pray, Lord, that You would raise it by the power of Your Spirit within the hearts of men and women, and grant, Lord, that it might not return unto Thee void, but, Lord, it will bring forth fruit. Lord, that the seed that has been sown might blossom forth, and grant, Lord, tonight that some soul or souls, even here in this service, may come to know Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that Thou will keep us in the attitude of prayer in our closing hymn, and that we'll know Thy presence for Jesus' sake. Amen.